Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Thursday, September the 30th, last day of September as we're heading to the month of October. A lot of stuff going on in the country right now. It's let's just say it's a time of tremendous tension in our politics. This is not an easy time. I'm not saying that it hasn't happened before. I'm sure it has. But there's a lot of tension in many directions here, and we're going to try to deal with some of it today. Well, let's begin with the $3.5 trillion package that the Democrats want to get through. Now, just as a matter of background, the Republicans and Democrats on a bipartisan basis, about a month or so ago, I think it was like 60 votes altogether, so they got like 10 Republicans. They approved a $1.5 trillion infrastructure deal. Now, I have not read all the pages, but you know, the Republicans who voted for this are assuring me and have said that there's a lot of infrastructure in that bill. And I have no problem with infrastructure. I think infrastructure is one of the things that the federal government has to do. You know, somebody has to build the highways and the bridges and make sure that we have enough of them and airports and, you know, lay down some cables for internet or whatever. So I'm all for that, because that type of investment ends up, you know, helping the country. I mean, if you think that, for example, I think perhaps the best example of this was when under President Eisenhower, we decided to build the highway network, you know, the interstate highways in the United States that were built back in the 1950s. That was a huge investment of money, but it's paid off many, many times, because you were able to get more trade, more commerce, more parts of the country were able to move to other parts. I mean, it basically gave us the highway system that we have now that I think, and, you know, it's a tremendous system that we have. So I'm not against infrastructure. I'm not against building better bridges and tunnels and airports and stuff like that. I think that's good and necessary. But what the Democrats want to do in the House, so that, I guess to put it this way, that bill that I just talked about, that $1.5 trillion, that is sitting there. That could pass tomorrow morning if the House Democrats voted on it. The problem is the House Democrats want to take the $1.5 trillion to $3.5 trillion or $2 trillion more. You know, after a while, you talk about billions and trillions, and after a while, you lose perspective. But just to give you an idea of what $3.5 trillion is, that's like three times the economy of Texas. That just gives you, or the GDP of Texas, that just gives you an idea of how big that is. So anyway, they want to go in a direction of a massive, what they call infrastructure, and this is that 2,800 pages that's full of programs for this, for this, for this, for this, for that, free health care, free college, free this, free this. Of course, it's not free. Somebody's got to pay for it, but it does create, I think, a lot of dependency on government, and that's what some of the critics are saying. So this program right now is over in the House, the $3.5 trillion. The $1.5 trillion has already passed the Senate. So the $3.5 trillion has fallen on its face because the man with the most important vote right now in all of this is the senator from West Virginia, Joe Manchin, who is a Democrat, but he's a very conservative Democrat. And he's sitting over at the Senate saying, I am not going to vote for the $3.5 trillion. I will not vote for any more than the $1.5 trillion. So basically that means that even if the House were to pass the $3.5 trillion, it's not going to pass the Senate, so we're right back where we started from. And frankly, I think Manchin, Senator Manchin, I admire him right now because he's literally saving the country from this fiscal insanity. How in the world do you spend, or do you want to spend, $3.5 trillion in mostly social programs at a time when we've just spent all that money on COVID? we have sent out trillions of dollars in help to people because of COVID. And we have an economy where a bunch of people got used to sitting at home getting a check rather than working. Well, so you're going to add another $2 trillion to this economy? No, that's insanity. At a time when inflation is right there, everybody can see it. Every housewife knows that every time she goes to the store, everything is more expensive. When you go out to have lunch with your wife, everything is more expensive. Everything is more expensive. You know, we had to replace our battery a few days ago, our car battery. And so, we, you know, we went to one of these places where they sell batteries, and the young woman who was the clerk said, "Ooh, the prices just went up last week." No. Yeah, the prices are going up every week everywhere. So we don't need this kind of money spending right now at a time like this. So it's creating a lot of tensions within the Democrat Party because a Democrat is actually the one holding back all of this fiscal insanity. But again, I'm grateful that Senator Manchin has the guts to do that. Now, he does represent a very conservative state, West Virginia. He's probably the only Democrat who can win that state. He also represents a state that it has a lot of coal because of all the mines in West Virginia. They also have a lot of natural gas. So he's looking at this $3.5 trillion, and he's looking at the so-called green energy portion of this bill, and he say, "This is going to kill my people in West Virginia." So I'm not going to vote for that. So the whole thing's a mess right now. Washington is a mess right now, and the biggest mess is within the Democrat Party. Because if President Biden doesn't get this, he's done. He's not going to get anything. This is all he had. This was the only legislative victory that he had coming. And he's apparently not going to get it. And apparently not going to get the $1.5 trillion either, because the Democrats think that's too small. So it is just a total mess. And all you can say is this is what you get when you vote for someone whose name is not Trump. That's what you're getting here. You voted for Biden because you didn't like Trump. Well, this is what you're getting. Total, complete disaster, the American government at the moment, whether it's the border, and we're going to talk about that in a minute, or whether it's the inflation now, and now this program, Afghanistan, a total, complete disaster in the United States. And the only thing you can conclude from all of this, especially for those of you who voted against Trump, because nobody really voted for Biden, but you voted against Trump, I mean, this is what you got. I hope you're happy. I hope you're happy. You have a man who cannot govern, and you have a Democrat Party that is totally at war with itself. And that's where we are here at the end of September 2021. And every single day, the approval rates for President Biden are dropping and dropping and dropping. So is this what you wanted, all of you who voted for Joe Biden or voted against Trump? Well, this is what you got. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Thursday, September the 30th. I always like to do a podcast on the last day of the month. I don't know what that means, but I always enjoy saying it's the last day of the month or the first day of the month. It's always kind of fun to say that. I mentioned a minute ago that President Biden's approvals are down. Well, the daily tracking, this is Rasmussen Reports, has a daily tracking poll, and it's very good because it's based on likely voters. And they usually do a pretty big sample. They do 1,000 likely voters. And right now he's at 42%. And he's been down there for a little bit now. And, you know, when you get down to 42%, it's tough to come back unless something happens, unless something very dramatic happens. And I don't see any of that happening. In fact, I think things are going to get worse, which leads me to my next topic. We're getting information from Central American countries, from Panama, from Colombia, that there are more caravans, primarily Haitians, coming. I have no idea that there were that many Haitians outside of Haiti. I mean, I'm sorry. I just had no idea. But they're coming. They say anywhere from 15,000 to 35,000. That's a lot of people. So I'm going to guess that it's closer to 15,000 than 35,000, but I could be wrong. And they're coming through, and apparently they're being told to go back. But where are they going to go back to? Many of these people are coming here from Chile. They're coming here from Brazil because apparently they were working there. You know, they walked away from their jobs, I'm assuming. They left those countries. I don't know whether they can just go back and get their old jobs. Maybe they can. But they're going to come up here. Mexico has already told them that they're not going to grant them asylum, meaning they're not going to stay in Mexico because Mexico is not going to grant them asylum. So if they come into Mexico, they can only go to the border. That's the only way they can go. So it is very, very likely that over the next 2 or 3 weeks, we're going to have another situation with thousands of people under a bridge. And how do the people in South Texas deal with that? They're fed up with it. They're fed up with this stuff. Wouldn't you be fed up with this if you had, you know, if your community was being overrun by this? And it's just become a nightmare. And I have no idea what the Biden administration is going to do. They have an extremely incompetent Homeland Security Secretary who doesn't have a clue of what he's doing. And he just recently said, by the way, that, yeah, it is true that some of these people came into the country who were infected. That's nice to know, that they were infected with Delta. That's great to know. I'm sure the people, the cities that these people are going to are going to be just delighted to find out that they're getting a bunch of people who are infected with Delta. So that's always good to know. But what a mess. What a total mess. What's happening on the border, and apparently is going to get a lot worse. Well, the situation in Afghanistan has become the classic definition of a no-win situation for President Biden. He goes on TV and he says, no, I didn't get any advice about keeping troops. The generals go before the Congress and say, yeah, we wanted to keep troops. Now, the generals, obviously, you know, they have a certain loyalty to the president. I understand that. Under our Constitution, they have to be. But this doesn't look good. Because if you're a betting person and all the generals are telling you in front of the Senate and the House that they wanted to keep troops, but the president is saying, nobody told me that, well, somebody's lying, obviously. And this does not look good for President Biden. There's also the possibility, and this is not fun to say, but there's also the possibility that President Biden just doesn't remember. I mean, he just doesn't remember. And that, of course, is more frightening, that we have someone like that in the White House. I mean, he's clearly not up to speed. He's clearly a man who, well, as they say in baseball, he lost his fastball many, many years ago. Well, on this day in history, a couple of interesting things to remember. Happy number 78 to Marilyn McCoo. She was with the Fifth Dimension in the late 60s and into the 70s. That was a great group. You know, they had a lot of great songs like Aquarius, Let the Sun Shine In, One Less Bell to Answer, Stone Soul Picnic, Up, Up and Away. I mean, just a lot of great songs that they recorded back in the late 60s. And then in the 70s, Marilyn McCoo and her husband, Billy Davis, who was also a part of the Fifth Dimension, they sort of formed their own duo. And they had some great hits like You Don't Have to Be a Superstar, and stuff like that. So we remember Marilyn McCoo, you know, one of the great voices, really. She had just had a wonderful female vocalist from the 60s and the 70s. And by the way, she and Billy Davis have been married for over 50 years, one of the most successful marriages in pop music. And we also remember on this day, this is great, on this day in 1958, I should say, on this day in 1958, the Rifleman made his debut on American television. That is still today one of my all-time favorite shows. I catch that show every time it's on the air. Every time I'm flipping channels, if I see it, I stick with it. It is one of my all-time favorite shows. Chuck Connors, of course, was the Rifleman, and he played that role great. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later.